I think that's it. Hello, folks. Scrump couldn't make it because he has a very sore wisdom tooth,
Yeah.
and isn't much one for talking. So I'm afraid he can't be here. However, me and Trigger here, so we will sit and have a laugh for 90 minutes, because why
Yeah.
not?
We're gonna have a crack at it. Yes, indeed. And best wishes to Scrumpy. He did not sound like he was in a good way, but
No. I think it's
wisdom
good.
teeth, they're a bit
Yeah.
nasty.
I think it's been a bit kind of coming and going. Because do you not remember that first kicked off almost a year ago, maybe a year and a few weeks back,
Yeah.
when I was going to move and everything? It
Yeah, of course
must
it was,
be.
wasn't
It
it?
must be something to do with like the season or something as it comes round that sets his tooth off.
You know what? He needs to get that sorted out. I had wisdom teeth, proper impacted ones, and I got the operation done, got them all removed. That was nasty, but because I'd it's not a matter of brushing your teeth, as James Murray's put there. There's nothing you can do about it. An impacted wisdom teeth is literally growing through sideways underneath the gum line, and it caused me no end of problems for several years afterwards. With other teeth that were damaged in the process, so
See,
he's oh,
I might end up sounding worse than I do, because I've got like a full set of wisdom teeth, all four of them just slowly but surely coming in, and it's they've been
yeah.
doing it since they were 15, 16. It's a pain in the arse.
It's, if they're growing through right, that's fine. There's no problems, but yeah, if they're impacted,
Where are they gonna
woof.
go though? I've got such a small mouth.
Fair. Fair. As long.
Before I forget as well, before we get into whatever else, thank you to all the people who should obviously show up to streams and channel members and people that super chat and do the Streamlabs and whatever else as well. It helps
Indeed.
us justify spending however many hours it takes us to research, and I know we're not doing some of the more serious democratization stuff, but I am essentially investing a lot of my time now into having hopefully a considerable chunk of content quite like the stuff we produced towards the end of last year for a good, I don't know, 5, 6 months or so. So that it will come all eventually. It's just when it's primarily me picking through books and whatever else, it just takes quite a while. But it will be done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the democratization series stuff. Good God, yeah. That's been a huge chunk of work over the last year or so. And you know what? I'll be honest. It's been nice to take a little bit of a break from it. We do need to wrap that up, though.
Aye, you got to take a break. I'm still reading.
Fair point. Fair point. It was quite intense at the time, though. When we were going through it, but it's never going to end. I mean, we've got everything that's going off at the present moment, which is going to segue into Ukraine. It's all part of the same nonsense. It is
Oh yeah, should I
very
suppose I
much what
should.
is going off here.
I'll show everyone the state of play that we're in here.
Yep,
So,
go.
thank you for coming to save Ukraine, Warts. Putin has the Infinity Gauntlet. He must be stopped. And there's Ukraine, Warts, and Spider-Man and Pikachu are helping to fight the Russian. Oh God, what they called it? Harry Potter.
Oh God, I don't know. I think I've watched one Harry Potter, and it was like 20 years ago.
Anyway, there's Putin with
They're
the
not
power
mind
gauntlet,
flayers,
and there's
yeah,
the
something like
brave
that.
Redditoids, and
Debt stealers, wasn't
yeah,
it?
and this is all just so that they can take the E out of Kiev and change it to Y, because the people that run Ukraine actually have a scam with all the chicken Kiev companies, and they want to force them to change all the packaging. It's sort of like one of those like old school mob kind of issues, and they're trying to pressure them.
Oh God,
You've
what
got to look at the bigger picture of frozen Iceland goods.
You know what? You know, I actually had chicken Kiev this evening. It was delicious.
Did the packet say like KIYV or something?
It's old school chicken Kiev. Listen, none of
All
this
right.
Kiev nonsense.
I did. I will quickly stick the link in the chat as well. I threw up a quick thing on the. I did. I will quickly
Stick.
Substack earlier on, and I think I had somewhere in there I used the line. What was it? Yeah. marching on Moscow is never wise, but doing so from Kiev or Kyiv, if you're into that sort of thing, is at least marginally wiser.
Well, at least they're used to the winters, and it is the right time of year to start it. But you better, if you're going to take Moscow, you've got to take it quickly. The moment that winter comes in, it's brutal over there.
See, it's just I love this meme because, like, to normies, none of this makes any sense. Why is Spider-Man and Pikachu there? Why is it in the like Harry Potter and Yoda? And why is Putin get the, like, it just, none of it makes sense. But to us, you know, this is a complete sort of symbolism all in one of just, like, this is how paused Ukraine is, and this whole issue is a fucking farce.
Farce, yes, sort of. I mean, there are people out there. I mentioned to you earlier, I know someone that's been out there and got hit and come back in a very, very short space of time. And there are decent people, as always, going out there, being paid or doing things for what they think is right. And
don't mistake me. I have all sympathy for people actually dying in combat. What number of it is that I can't actually say, and no one can really say. I don't believe the numbers that thousands on either side have died, or this or that. It just doesn't line up as far as I can tell. But
it could be, but one thing I will say is you can't tell the difference between a Russian tank and a Ukrainian tank if it's been blown up. T-72s and T-80s on fire look the same. And that's what I was saying to you earlier, is that we've got a war where both sides are using exactly the same kit. So when they show you a picture of, oh, here's a Russian tank on fire, it's a tank on fire. I don't know which side it was. I can tell you it's a T-72, but yeah. Plus, there's been all sorts of shit. We've seen, what was it, that oh, here's a brave girl standing up to a Russian soldier. What, in Israel? That's Israeli.
I know. Well, see, like, but just, I want to come back to the reason why people are able to associate Ukraine with all the shit we hate is because it's just sort of like an assumed fact now amongst those who at least had their heads switched on during the stuff in 2014, during the Revolution of Dignity, where it was Yanukovych and his government got ousted, and then like 6 months later, eight of his I think it was high government ministers all committed suicide. Funnily enough,
that was blatantly a coup.
Yeah, the Euromaidan coup is what it's referred to now. But Obama at the time was talking about how this was going to install essentially some form of true democracy in bloody Ukraine. And then prior to that, in 2008, you've got what was the one that was floating about on Twitter? It was some memo of Blair talking to John McCain. And within it, you know, they're talking about how Putin needs to feel pressure, feel a little desperate, so that he has to then run to China. And McCain says back to him, he's like, yeah, that's great, because that allows us to strengthen our League of Democracies.
McCain's a freaking nightmare all by himself.
But it's hilarious to even, because you've got all like the, maybe you don't see it as much because I know you're not on Telegram, which I am now because I'm not allowed on Twitter because I've been naughty.
I saw that. That was rest in peace, your Twitter account.
Yeah, I made fun of too many truns and I spoke good of Putin, so couldn't be had.
Excellent chat.
Aye. It's just another sort of colour revolution, though, that we'd be used to with any other nation that's not playing ball with NATO. It's just the fact that instead of playing with states in the Middle East attack Russia, they're now just playing with Russia's neighbours and installing whoever they want there. I mean, this Zelensky character, I think, is hilarious. Not in a, you know, it's almost like tragic comedy that, like, this is the man that Ukrainians have to look up to.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen actor presidents before, and you know what, for his flaws, Reagan was an interesting era to live through, and you know, maybe hats off to the guy, but But this one is he just glows in the dark way too much for me.
What you've got to remember is before he was installed, the person that was installed directly by the US State Department was Petro Pachenko, who ran like Channel 5 TV, which is one of the biggest TV networks, which this TV link will become important in a moment as we read through this sort of bit of the article here. But, you know, he's running all these TV networks, and he's even mentioned here that, he was working with American and NATO forces possibly as early as 2008, 2009 on how to get rid of the government that was established after the Orange Revolution, which as far as I can tell wasn't a totally legitimate revolution, but at least the people and the regime that was installed from like 2004-5 to like 2014 wasn't directly fueled and organised by American bureaucrats.
It was definitely a case of ousting. Back in 2014 with the Maidan protests and etc. I mean, that was the biggest outing for all of Western alphabet agencies I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was up there.
It was crazy. But they ousted a Russian, a pro-Russian.
He wasn't pro-Russian though.
He was
elected via a very slim majority of the Russian side, and his position, as far as I can tell from what I looked into, was that he wasn't going to sign anything with the EU because he knew that would take him closer to NATO. And vice versa, he was going to continue the relations with Russia as it was, almost in a certain sense reflecting the genuine democratic will of a very divided Ukraine at the time. And then because of that, he got nixed. Because he didn't support, the regime, the doctrine of American hegemony.
Yes, and then after he was ousted, there was a takeover, there was definitely a civil war, and then there was the annexation of Crimea shortly afterwards. And
you can't blame him.
You can't. Russia, Sevastopol is absolutely essential for Russian interests. Mm. It is theirs in much the same way as Hong Kong was England's. And they needed to protect their route into it. And by and large, as far as we can tell, Crimea welcomed the forces in.
So, I love this article though, because it's so it's so innocent. You know, it's like, Hugh Bonneville tweeted a link to a video with the Ukrainian president providing the voice for the Ukrainian version of the film for Paddington Bear. It's like, it's so cute. He's a man of the people and he's so wholesome. And then just down here, in 2015 he played a school teacher catapulted to the Ukrainian presidency by a viral political rant, and it changed his life forever. Fair enough. In Servant of the People, Mr. Zelensky plays the character of Vasil Petrovich Holobrodokol, however you pronounce that, who unexpectedly becomes leader of his country after an online video of him slating corrupt politicians is viewed by millions of people. The show became so popular amid Ukraine's struggle with oligarchs and corruption that live on TV on New Year's Eve 2018, Mr. Zelensky upstaged the country's then real leader, because they have to say that, because Petro Poroshenko, as I mentioned before, was essentially installed by the US State Department as the TV oligarchy was, by announcing he planned to follow his character's footstep and run for the president himself, and then goes and wins the next year with a 73% landslide. You know, he's the most popular man in Ukraine in the same way that Joe Biden's the most popular man in America.
Yeah. I mean, was it a landslide?
I don't care. I don't know. We'll never find out, but I just...
Well, that's it. Yeah.
That's the kind of shit that people actually get held under their nose. And who, I don't know who wrote this, but whoever wrote this is a fucking scumbag and they hate you. And they actually just want to take the piss out of the fact that you can't put, like, fucking that line and that section there together and see the fact that this is people, that's pre-programming. This is just how it works.
Imagine somebody, I don't know, who was the president in, I don't know, 24 or whatever TV show in America, suddenly running for president.
Like when we,
probably do a better job than Biden.
No, no. But when we went over the article about BreadTube, it was a PhilosophyTube and other people who had gotten money from British organisations that develop like think tank kind of media organisations that worked in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan. That'll be the same people that Petro Poroshenko would have worked with to develop this TV programme and stuff like that. This stuff must have been in the playbook for years, and they probably sat there giggling about it, thought, we're actually going to do this. No chance.
Oh, no, they knew what they were doing.
And it's just it's like backwards Argo or something.
The amount of commercial organisations, I mean, even the IMF is blatantly... IMF, big group of Western-funded sort of banking cartel types, changing regimes, left, right, and centre. The amount of, you watch any country, or you look up any country that has rejected IMF funding or proposals, and note how quickly there is a civil war that happens afterwards.
Funny you see IMF, the little article from 2019 from the World Economic Forum. Well, what the election of Volodymyr Zelensky means for Ukraine and the wider region.
Terrors. Oh, where is it? Let's have a look.
Yeah, it's the second link in
Google
Doc.
No, I've got that. Okay, so where was it? Let's have a look at this. Let's have a quick readout of it. On the 21st of April, Volodymyr Zelensky won the Ukrainian presidential election by a landslide, collecting almost 73% of the vote against incumbent Petro Poroshenko. But this is like one puppet being voted out.
Yeah,
by another
this is basically the guy that orchestrated the plan stepping down and letting the guy that's going to be the fall guy now take the reins.
The crazy thing is
the plot to Godfather 2.
Yeah. Also, take into account that you've got at least one third of Ukraine. Mind you, actually, at this point, you don't, because you've lost Crimea. Crimea are not voting at this point in these elections. So yeah, but you've still got about a third of the Ukraine population is essentially ethnic and Russian speaking.
I think it's a bit more than that. If you look at
is it more than a third?
Yeah, if you look at the election for Yanukovych. Yeah, it would sort of seem more like it's at least 40%, because he won 47-45% or something like that in that election in 2010.
But again, there you've got the Crimea. Crimea has gone out of that, and Crimea was very, very heavily the Russian. So that might account for the difference.
I don't know though. I would trust it. Thing is, what I don't understand is why normal Ukrainians would vote for this man. It's just a complete psyop from end to end. As it always is.
There's a lot of bad blood between Ukraine and Russia. Going back to the Holodomor and various other stuff. You can understand why big chunks of the Ukrainian public would be someone that's going to take a hard line against Russia and. Yeah, they are sold a very positive vision of the EU.
But I mean, you can't really say that lots of Russian people don't also have a gripe with the USSR either, though.
Oh, I know. A lot of them will do, and I know. I'm trying to play devil's advocate just a little bit, and rather than just us both sit there going, This is bad because of XYZ, either way, to examine the implications of the election for Ukraine in the region, the World Economic Forum spoke with Olesya Lutsevich, research fellow and manager for the Ukraine Forum in the Russia and Eurasia program at Chatham House, Eurasia, using the terminology that Orwell actually
and also coined. Chatham House, because if anyone Chatham who knows that you don't just have casual discussions at Chatham House. Let's put it that way.
Eurasia. The prison has a huge mandate, but how realistic are his chances of satisfying expectations, and what will be crucial for his success or failure? Question 1. Volodymyr Zelensky has won the highest vote of popular support in the history of an independent Ukraine in a contested race.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, and in contrast to Russia, where power really switched hands only twice since the fall of the Soviet Union. Oh, yes. So what? With the endorsement across all but one region in Ukraine, I think, here's the thing, actually, just going back to this, people look at this as though swapping the reins over and over again of power is a good thing.
Hmm. Well,
I've never been convinced that it is.
It is when your agenda is going to be represented.
Yeah. Yeah. But you never get long-term agendas. You never get people building, you know, planting the tree for their grandchildren to go under with short-term leadership.
I love some of the sentences here, though. You know, his victory is a revolution by ballot. Zelensky's victory represents a backlash against the system most Ukrainians believe is rigged. Then how can we trust it?
Yeah. Was Dominion voting systems used in?
Yeah, exactly. That's the sort of questions I'm asking. It's not about who votes, it's about who counts them.
Exactly.
It would have been U.S. forces that would have oversaw this, surely, if not NATO or Ukraine or whoever. But, you know, Joe Biden and, like, Kissinger and those kind of folk would have had an ear into this at the very least. I mean, just it's dripping with all of the globalist sort of in-group language. You know, what Ukrainians fundamentally desire is a better functioning democracy and an end to a protracted war with Russia and economic relief. I'm sure they do, but, like, how do you know that?
You know what? It was. I'm pretty sure of it. I'm seeing here electronic online voting in Ukraine.
Oh, no.
Dated back in 2020. Yeah. Yeah, there was at least chunks of it were done electronically.
There you go. That's all you need to know on that front, then. That's why I said, just like Joe Biden, Zelensky is the most popular man in Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah. How did I know that? And this wasn't pre-prepared. Yeah, here you go. Mobile application February 2020. Move towards internet voting for Ukrainian can you imagine internet voting?
Ugh.
You imagine internet voting? Oh my god.
Yeah, I'll be honest, the rest of this article is the usual just sort of technical guff that you would normally see. I'm trying to remember, I think part of the reason I picked this out is they just do the usual sort of, like, making it very clear that, like, oh, well, if, or shall we say, you know, Zelensky is not a pro-Russian president, and Putin understands this. While Zelensky may wish to improve relations with Russia, there is a strong support in Ukraine for the EU, and there is growing approval of NATO. You can't do the two of those things at once, and they know that. I mean, there's been NATO memos since, you know, it's some of the stuff we'll go through here, if we get to it, I think it's from as early as the 90s, where they're like, you can't have NATO in Ukraine and Ukrainian-Russian relations. You know, those two things are mutually exclusive. I mean, I don't know, the thing is, this is the point where I would... It seems to me like Putin's strategy is probably long-term collapsing whatever Ukrainian government instruments are controlled by American and NATO interests. And that going and taking bits of territory has nothing to do with going in and taking bits of territory. He is disarming the weapon that is the Ukrainian state in the hands of NATO.
Well, yeah, I mean, something that I posted, I mentioned to you earlier, one of the things I posted up we were going to talk about in a bit, is what Ukraine was doing. You're not seeing it being reported in the West or in very many pages, in many papers, rather. I had to find it on Al Jazeera, of all places, is that the Ukrainian government, in fact, I'm going to actually write a piece on this, I think.
Yeah,
the Ukrainian government at the present moment is massively breaking the Geneva Convention on a number of fronts.
Is this not the only... Is this the article you put in? Because I can get that up if
this,
you want.
This isn't the article I was putting put in. This is also attached to this. Ukraine is also has been seeking to develop its own nuclear weapons.
Ah.
And threatened NATO that if they wouldn't take them on board with NATO, that they would develop their own nuclear weaponry. And I've been sent what looks like a weapons test of a nuclear weapon, but it's difficult to source and go, this was Ukrainian, etc. Someone showed me a bomb that went,
I don't know if you've noticed,
clash.
When you go back through this article now, all the Kiev is now Kyiv.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just love when they memory hole stuff like that, don't you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah. But either way, this is last year.
Either we are part of an alliance like NATO and also make our contribution to strengthen this Europe, or we have only one option, to rearm ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were literally turning around to NATO and saying, take us on board, we want to be part of NATO. Fuck Russia. We know Russia doesn't want us to be part of NATO. Fuck them. Take us on board. And if you don't, we're going to literally throw out all of these articles that we'd signed to say we wouldn't do that, you know, and seek to have nuclear weapons. And we're going to arm ourselves as a nuclear country.
Yeah. And which... as someone said in the chat, yeah, Putin quite literally might be clearing the paws out of Ukraine. Yeah. Clear them out.
Absolutely. No, and rightly so. Also, the memes about the bio labs, I can't say where I've heard, but I have heard from, you know, from people on the ground who have then had to come back because they were injured, that, you know, the bio labs are very likely very real.
Mm.
And you know, people have been in there to extract things safely from them. That's very counter to the propaganda that we're hearing, and we are only hearing propaganda at the moment. You cannot take anything you're seeing in the press with anything other than a very large pinch of salt.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing, is that we silenced all the Russian propaganda so that we could turn British media and social media into an amplifier for Ukrainian propaganda.
Yeah, yeah. But, No, that we've had. Yeah, the other thing is, that's one of the things I wanted to mention, is Ukraine. We all signed up to the Geneva Convention, right? Ukraine government is, whether they realise it or not, committing a huge number of war crimes at the present moment. I know that's big talk, but it's true. Part of the Geneva Convention is you will not arm your civilians. You can conscript your civilians, certainly. You can have conscripts, put them in an army, train them, put them in a unit, send them out. Sure. What you can't do is just start handing out guns to your general population, because you are weaponizing your populace. And one of the factors of the Geneva Convention is that an unarmed civilian populace is sacrosanct. Mm. And anyone that attacks them is committing war crimes. If you are arming the population, you're taking the ability for them to be sacrosanct and unarmed and neutral out.
Yeah.
And every single civilian at that point becomes a military target.
Well, there's actually an interesting connection here to Carl Schmitt, of all people, actually.
Yeah.
His discussion of... Oh, no, I've just realised that image has cropped out. Oh, no. Zoom out a little bit. He discusses... and his theory of the partisan, characters like Lenin and Mao, and how they changed not necessarily warfare, but political warfare into total warfare. You know, not in the sense of like democratic wars in Europe, as you could sort of see them in a certain sense, but and a completely different, you know, pure, almost sort of military tactician sort of style.
Yeah.
I thought I would just... I find this image entertaining. I thought I would just leave it up for a bit while you were discussing the...
That's the state of that chin. Is there a chin there? There is no chin there. Yeah. The EU have always been very, very toothless in all of this. But they don't want to be. They don't want to be. charging in and
I'm just thinking where the I don't know, have you had a look at the UNZ article yet? This is the one by David Stockman. Admittedly, it's quite long. It's one that I would actually go recommend that people read, to be honest, because
Oh, the UNS review or the
yeah.
UNZ review. Yeah. Let's have a look. The Land Where History Died, Part One.
There is some fantastic stuff in here where he actually gets up the information about, you know, the 2010, I mean basically some of the stuff I was saying there about the 2014 revolution is all a lot of that sourced in here.
The good article. Yes, I'm gonna have to have a proper read of this actually, because I
But
haven't,
yeah, because I
I'll be
think there's
honest, I haven't read.
the
It's
election map.
4,000 words,
Yeah,
crikey.
no.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, as it happened, some of the pro-Yanukovych skews from East and South Donbass and Crimea added up to 12.48 million votes and 48.95% of the total, while the sum of the extreme red skews in the centre and west, the old Eastern Glacier, amounted to 11.6 million votes and 45.47%. So that's kind of what I was saying earlier. You know, it's a very divided nation. And I think that for
Oh
this
yeah.
Yanukovych guy to essentially sit there and like not sign anything and leave it as it was, you know, let's not make what already is a touchy issue any worse in 2010. And it just they decided, no, we're not having that. You will become a part of NATO and a part of EU, and we will use your nation to attack Russia in whatever way we see fit.
I know it's a bit on the nose to you know, because of the word Balkanization is been twisted from what it means, but really honestly, Ukraine does need to Balkanize and break it up into two countries. It is
Yeah,
very definitely split.
here's an interview. This is the bit I was talking about. In a later interview with a US journalist, in fact, the Ukrainian billionaire oligarch and opposition leader Petro Poroshenko, who later became president, said quite clearly that the plan was to subvert the nation's constitution and install an unelected anti-Russian government that would deep six the deal with Moscow. From the beginning, I was one of the organisers of the Maidan. My television channel, Channel 5, played a tremendously important role on the 11th of December when we had US Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland and EU diplomat Catherine Ashton in Kyiv during the night they started to storm the Maidan.
Well, this is the other thing, isn't it? When you've got media moguls now playing politics in a very, very big way. It is, I used to think that the television was dead. When the internet first came out, it was just like, long live the internet.
It
The TV is dead.
just
They're going to
turned it
break
up
it.
another notch,
How
really.
wrong, I was. I was just a mere ideological happy little, I could see the end to this type of nonsense, and anyone that had wanted a voice could write that little piece on their own website and stick it out there, and anyone that wanted to see it could see it. And I was a fool. I was naive and a fool to think that. But
Yeah, here's some neo-Nazi dude that John McCain went and met, or supposed neo-Nazi dude, who really knows?
I'll tell you what, as far as I can tell about Ukraine, this is the other thing. Ukraine literally actually has unironic actual neo-Nazis in it. The amount of Black Suns and other shall we say Hyperborean slash
See,
Nazi
I don't know if
symbolism
any of it's
everywhere.
real though. I don't know if it's real. I can't trust it anymore.
You can't trust it. You're right not to trust it. You can't believe any of it. It's all nonsense. It's all lies, and you should ignore all of it. But at the same time,
Turn
there's
off your
an awful lot of
TV.
That's what I've told everyone in my family. Turn off your TV. Stop making yourself feel terrible watching stuff you cannot know anything about, can't do anything about. Just carry on with your, go to the Sunday market. Go and take your kids to school. Go and do your art class on Saturday or whatever it is you do, and get on with your life. Just to ignore this nonsense. And yes, I'm as someone put in the channel there, Azov Battalion is real. Yes, I know.
Here's some other good stuff. That's to say, Victoria Nuland, a name we we hear more often now that I think she's still part of Biden's cabinet, isn't she? She was one of her sorry, she was one of his advisors during his time as vice president. didn't merely tell some undercover operatives to buy ads on Ukrainian social media, as Russia was accused of doing during the 2016 US election. To the contrary, she actually picked Yanukovych's successor and the entire cabinet. And we know this from a hacked phone call between Nuland and the US ambassador in Kiev. In discussing who should lead the Washington-installed government, Nuland made clear who the next prime minister would be and who he should be talking to for advice. Nuland, I think Yats, whoever that is the guy who's got the economic experience, the governing experience. What he needs is Klitsch and whatever this other name is on the outside. He needs to be talking to them four times a week, you know. I'm trying to remember, there's another great one in here as well. It's just this one's, it's just chock full of loads of good stuff about, you know, just NATO pulling funny moves and US State Department people being scumbags. And
the whole government in Ukraine is handpicked by various people within the current regime in the USA. And it is a regime. It is not a party. It is not a democrat. It is a nightmare there as well. But yeah, it's all handpicked. It's all jobs for the boys, and it's media moguls, comedy writers of all things. I thought it's hilarious, and most of them have got dual nationality in America and the Ukraine.
Yep,
that went over from America over to Ukraine. And suddenly took all of the top jobs in there. If I was a Ukrainian citizen, I would be livid about this.
Yep. As I know, I thought there was an Obama quote in here somewhere. Annoying. Where is it? Indeed, as former President Obama told CNN at the time, Washington was just going about its indispensable nation business. It helpfully encouraged another flowering of democracy.
Obama.
I just love just the phrasing flowering of democracy. It basically means it's ours, by the way. We're going in troops.
Yeah. We don't like the democratic results that we got from that particular election, so we're going to install a proper democracy this time.
That's why Richard Spencer's in on it.
Break out the Dominion voting systems, boys. We're going in.
Hell yeah. Oh,
fucking Richard Spencer. Christ.
Dickie Spence. That, and also, where's the other? Yeah, that's the image I wanted. Yeah, but boo, the puppet of Kiev. Big up the line of Damascus. Big Assad.
Do you remember that Antifa guy that just absolutely decked him? When he was doing an interview about Pepe the fucking frog.
I didn't know. He took a running sucker punch at him and he didn't even knock him off his feet, so...
I know. It's just... To have that opportunity these days. Assad is done an interesting job in Syria, and I do not believe any of the nonsense about chemical weapons.
Assad is based. He's also a Chad, and he's ophthalmology pilled. He is literally our guy, and he's still our guy. It's so funny.
He always was our guy, though. I mean,
oh god, someone beat it too as well. A belter of a Streamlabs donation from Norm McNormason. Hello, fellow Ukraine experts. I stand with the brave rune bearers of the Ukraine, as do Richard Spencer, Vouch, and the CIA, but I repeat myself. Bashar Allah Chad. I could do a bit of that. Shout out Allah Chad. See, I have to sit and, I don't know, I just have to sit and kind of laugh at this stuff because I can't be bothered with it anymore. I mean, I'm not believing a word of any of it. When, like, they used to write crap like this. I'll need to, I don't know if I can zoom. It's got most of the article in here anyway. Shit.
I'll be honest, this time last week I was having a full on, every time I started looking at it, I was having a headache. And kind of getting down about the whole thing because, you know, you start reading too much into this, start studying it too much, you can give yourself a proper funk on the whole thing. It can get too much.
See,
you're right, by
being a Zoomer, I'm impervious to that. You know, the world to me is the Joker world. And just by being brought up in such a just cursed hell world, you have to just reflexively turn to humour as like a defence mechanism. And that's healthy if you recognise it's a defence mechanism. However, all the people that steep themselves in 2 dozen layers of irony and don't realise it it's a different problem.
I mean, I have a different defence mechanism in that I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And the Cold War is and the threat of nuclear annihilation.
What you're basically saying is video games still work for you.
Yeah, fond childhood memories, essentially, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm looking at it going, you know, it feels like I'm waking up from a weird dream and I'm still a kid.
I love this this article from, I don't even know what it is, it's Brookings, whoever the fuck these people are, and whoever the fuck James Kirchick is. However, what does a pride parade have to do with NATO more than you think? Editor's note, the degree of respect for LGBTQ people has increasingly become a measure of democratic health in former Soviet states. If Russia were a place where pride parades were allowed, its quarrels with the United States and ours with it would possibly diminish. I'm not going to even read the rest of the article because that's it there. It's just this dude basically saying like, oh, well, Russia's got to like the gays, otherwise we're going to fucking war.
So what you're saying is democratization equals globo homo.
Yeah, no, literally, yeah.
The article.
I can't believe that like it they just would say it so brazenly.
It's madness. It's not like a... I mean, you know, each to their own, and everyone's welcome to do what. But the pushing of it and this pride parade nonsense, etc., is not healthy. So I love the memes that I've been seeing recently with they're being cut off from Coca-Cola, and they're being cut off from Pornhub, and they're being cut off from this.
It's
going to
be
other.
A fucking paradise. I'm thinking
it's
of moving.
Be paradise. Yeah, exactly. They're going to be the most healthy, well-adjusted people on earth.
Yeah, they're going to be. They're actually going to be the Ubermensch. the degree of respect for LGBTQ people has increasingly become a measure of democratic health in former Soviet states, while gay rights demonstrations in the Baltics were once met with feces-flinging counter-protests in 2006. Based Baltic states.
Yeah. Basically.
Try that fucking walking about in dog costume shit in a street in Ukraine and see how it goes for you. I'm sure that would go down fucking swimmingly.
Oh, did you see the guy was blatantly, really, really, really openly homosexual who'd gone over to fight in Ukraine, who was like, oh, they've given me my own nickname, which means Peter.
And
up translator, and it's just like, this means faggots.
And that shit's not real. That's like all the fucking Reddit posts of the trannies that are supposedly volunteering. None of that's, nah.
Of course, it's not, but it could easily be. It's Poe's Law.
See, thing is, it's not just Poe's Law now. When you're sharing that stuff, you're genuinely sharing like leftist mythology. I mean, you post that and laugh at it, and they'll still sit there and be like, "Yes, you know, yes, Queen."
Mm-hmm.
As a really naughtiest Caesar, I also too get a headache from all this stuff. Was it a constant argument with friends and family since IDL didn't take the yellow and blue pill? I see. I don't know, as I said to you before coming on, I basically just sat down with my mum on the phone, like for 20 minutes the other day and just deprogrammed her from like all of it. It was kind of funny. Just kind of like, you know, oh, well, if there's all these people dying, why are you not seeing it on the news? Oh, that's a good point.
Why aren't they flooding into the hospitals all across Europe?
Mm.
Why isn't Germany's hospitals full of people missing limbs? That's because, you know, they are right next door. There is not far to medevac people out to places like Germany, Poland, etc.
See, there's some accidentally funny kind of statements in here. So a recently elected member of the Seimeia, the Latvian parliament, told me it is often not religious feelings, but the heritage of Soviet ideology that determines the extent to which a nation respects LGBTQ equality. Countries that overcome their totalitarian past, as the Baltic states have admirably done, shedding their command economies and authoritarian political structures for memberships in NATO and the European Union, will progress towards recognising the basic dignity of their gay and lesbian citizens. The share of people who say that the religion is very important in their lives is higher in Spain and Norway than in Lithuania and Latvia, or even in Russia. Yet it is in Spain and not in Russia that people of the same sex can marry. Is that just their sort of admittance there of like, yeah, all these people who were subjected to, you know, decades and decades of intense social sort of manipulation are also able to discern what other types of social manipulation looks like?
Been texted something. Apparently my niece is in hospital. Yeah, nothing I can do about that now. So sorry, I was slightly distracted there for a second. She's fine. She's just a little ill.
Hope she's all right.
I'm sure she's fine. I think it's just a stomach bug or something. Yes, sorry. I was slightly distracted there for a second.
Oh, pardon me. No, I think what's the other one we've got here? Is this the NATO link? NATO expansion, what Gorbachev heard.
Oh, this, well, yeah, this is it. That's what Gorbachev heard. This is the make sure he hears what he wants to hear, whilst we're kind of saying something different. Mm. Which is, it was made very clear back in the 90s when the wall had come down, so to speak, and they were talking about breaking up the Warsaw Pact and returning to friendly status, shall we say, was that NATO would not take one step into former Warsaw Pact countries. Mm. That they would stay the hell out and leave a zone of non-militarily aggressive and towards Russia.
Yeah, because I think this memo was mentioned briefly in that David Stockman article. But we've got a more detailed thing on it here. But yeah, if I'm right in saying it's basically just one of those cases of NATO says they will do X, does the exact opposite of X over the course of 30 years, and because everyone else forgets about it, no one really cares.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone remembers the, oh, you know, Putin assassinated this one person here, and oh, Putin may have done this, that, and the other to somebody else there. Most of which, by the way, when you look into it, they seem to be, shall we say, actors for other states, or at least there is potential evidence that these people that are assassinated or bumped off or are, you know, political rivals are at least acting with funding from outside of Russia, from other places, and no one remembers the really hinky shit that our side, in inverted commas, has been pulling off at the same time.
Yep.
And breaking all manner of laws and agreements in the process. Like, and a lot of people, oh, Putin's a constant liar. He's done nothing but lie about this, that, and the other. And it's like, well, we've done exactly the same.
No, I mean
Exactly the same.
the way I framed it in the article I wrote earlier was that you know, you look at the Cuban Missile Crisis, and America was seemed to be, or at least argued that, you know, Russia putting missiles in Cuba was them flexing, you know, almost their attempt at a global hegemony over America. And to some extent, that might have been true. However, America didn't feel the need to invade Cuba because there was obviously really not much of a risk there. I mean, actually nuking America was, you know, I think
Cough Bay of Pigs cough.
not, well, other than the Bay of Pigs, which I should say. I mean, but
Yeah.
they didn't engage in a full-scale land invasion because ultimately, at the end of the day, they probably didn't feel that threatened.
No.
I mean,
No, they didn't.
they
And
knew
they
from the
fucked up the Bay of
inside
Pigs royally.
that even during the time of the 50s that the Cuban sort of communist regime was basically changing hands quite consistently, even though the you know it was always Fidel Castro,
Well,
but the you know there was always in-group fighting because there always is in any good you know a South American communist republic or whatever you want to call it.
what's the, I mean, the thing is with Cuba is you have to remember that whilst Cuba is going off, whilst the Bay of Pigs is a fiasco and so on, you'd say they never needed to because Guantanamo Bay is in Cuba. Cuba, whilst it was an aggressive nation, sort of, towards America, had an American naval base on it, on that island, where the US have been able to pull off all manner of hinky shit away from the eyes of everyone.
Or plan hinky shit like Operation Northwoods to those that know.
They have been able to do all manner of hinky crap in Guantanamo. It was almost better that everyone's there going, oh, Cuba, they're not friendly towards the Americans, and just whitewash over the fact that there's a honking great 45, was it 45 square miles of Cuban land that is a fully operational American naval base that is a black site.
But I'm looking at more in the perspective of, you know, as much as the USSR were able to exude influence over Ukraine, or not Ukraine, sorry, over Cuba by supporting its communist government, they were not able to institute a revolution. They were not able to legitimize a government, nor were they able to, I don't know, maybe start a land invasion into America if they wanted to. Whereas
No.
if you look at the example of Ukraine and what NATO is doing with it, they have
Very much.
instituted a revolution, they have placed a government there that wants, you know, the exact same things that they want, and is essentially now threatening to use it as an avenue to make Putin feel a little desperate, in the words of Tony Blair.
Exactly. You can smuggle all manner of ordnance into Ukraine over the dead of night, quickly in vehicles and via helicopters or planes or whatever, and put up very, very heavily armed installations very quickly. Cuba, you've got to send stuff over by ship, a long way, and it's easy to spot. Yeah. The difference between Cuba is, yeah, Cuba is not a staging point for an invasion. Not something that's easily
I
set
mean,
up. And it's got a huge amount of space to travel again across sea, whereas Ukraine is right on their doorstep, and it is.
you've also got to look at what's neighbouring Ukraine and what's around Ukraine. I mean, that's this article here is briefly discussing also the unification of Germany. I mean, Putin's not an idiot. He was around to understand that, you know, as I'd imagine, in whatever sort of like inner circle school of Russian geopolitics that they're reading,
Oh,
they
yeah.
are looking at NATO as a consolidating force that's willing to use European mass organization as a weapon against Russia.
They didn't want NATO going into Eastern Europe after the consolidation. And by and large, that was kind of the agreement. Of course, it didn't happen.
But
Although that said, Eastern Germany got completely screwed over by the reunification anyway. People literally ran in and went, ah, we've bought all of these new car plants. And people are like, hey, and we've taken them over here. Oh. Poor old Eastern Germany got totally screwed over by the unification. They thought it was going to be great, and it literally got worse for them.
The reason you're still buying Porsches, BMWs, and Mercedes, and not whatever they built on the other side of Germany, that's where they have the new Opel and Ford factories, don't you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's also why Ladas and Skodas look an awful lot like Volkswagen Golfs when you take the bonnet up.
Yeah, and I'm aware the floor pan is very much the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just swapped to the equipment straight.
God, this is some size article. Oh no, it's not. The rest of the page is just the document. Fair enough. Oh, they've actually got all the stuff here. That is rather good, though. I may have to remember this website. It may be useful for things in future.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a good site.
Oh, God, have we also got a wee bit from Thatcher here? Thatcher anticipated the moves the Americans, with her support, would take in the early July NATO conference to support Gorbachev, with descriptions of the transformation of NATO towards a more political, less militarily threatening alliance.
Yeah.
She said to Gorbachev, we must find ways to give the Soviet Union that its security would be assured. CSCE could be an umbrella for all this, as would being the forum which brought the Soviet Union fully into discussion about the future of Europe. As it's basically just all these world leaders turning up and telling Gorbachev, like, look, right, you're either going to sit at our table or we're going to have to make an offer you can't refuse.
Well, they couldn't do that. Even at that point, though Russia was broken, Soviet Union was falling apart, you still couldn't take the piss with them because you poked the bear. They still had all the
I would imagine the government itself in Moscow during the collapse of the Soviet Union was probably not... I know it's obviously still Gorbachev and it's lots of other stuff around that, but I'd imagine he's in a position where it's like, well, I've not got much domestic support at this exact moment, so I maybe just want to play ball here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Gorbachev was quite popular. He wasn't very popular amongst the military, but the people...
Are you sure he was? Are you sure it wasn't just BBC and whoever telling you he was popular?
There was a degree of that, but there was also the fact that you weren't around, you don't remember the breadlines. The breadlines that we had forced Europe and the West had forced Russia into a situation where people were starving.
Mm.
We had broken them economically because we'd sold them dodgy wheat, basically.
Well, that seems to be the whole thing that's brewing out of this situation, is that Russia is something like world's largest exporter of wheat, and Ukraine is like the fifth largest exporter of wheat. And if you were to knock them both out, that's something like 1/6 of the Earth's wheat supply basically gone.
Yep.
I mean, I'm going to presume people have seen the charts for like the price of nickel and things like that recently.
Nickel. One of the big ones is palladium, because Russia is literally the biggest world's biggest supplier of palladium.
No, it was just 54%. I just remember the picture floating about, and it's just a complete vertical line. You're talking honestly like 100x gains in the space of a day, kind of thing.
It is an interesting one, because these, I know we were just memeing about it a minute ago, these sanctions are actually going to hit the West way harder than they're going to. What Russia wants is the technology, but as far as raw materials, they have all of the raw materials. They have all the space. They can grow the food. They can produce the energy.
Well, I think part of the reason why Russia won't be affected by the tariffs and restrictions, whatever else, is the fact that it is not as industrialized.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then that is the thing that will allow it to remain sort of, not necessarily impervious, but it's like, kick them off a SWIFT. Well, fair enough, they'll just make up how much the ruble costs. If people argue about it, they'll fucking have a rammy. Because that's how the Russians work.
They're not going to be able to sell their fuel and their wheat, so they're going to have excess food and fuel. It doesn't sound like we're going to be doing them much harm. We're actually giving them an excess of the things that we need by these sanctions. It is as Magood just says there, bread has gone up from £2.50 a loaf to £3.19 in a week. That's rapid expansion. That's nasty. That's sort of pounds, well, dollars.
You mentioned it before we came on stream. The only thing real about this conflict is the bloody increase in fuel prices.
Yeah. It used to cost me 50, maybe 60 quid to fill my tank. It just cost me 75. That's a very real feel. And I get my fuel from one place that is very, very reasonable. So I've seen places where it's 162.
I went in a service station the other week for a job interview, and they were selling petrol at 166 and diesel at £1.73. Imagine like you're doing, I don't know, long haul courier stuff, and you've got like a big transit van. Like one of the big, like, ton and a half ones, it must cost about £200 to fill that thing up now.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the Americans, at 161 per liter is the equivalent of $8 per gallon.
Yeah, so, and you're already seeing prices close to $8.50 a gallon, and diesel for America. Yeah, I'd imagine diesel here, if you convert it to American prices, is certain stations pushing it over $10 a gallon, which is absurd. However, this is how we're going to make you all drive electric cars.
Well, yeah. Except where are we going to get the palladium for the batteries from?
We'll solve that later on, Trig. We don't need. We just get people out of the petrol cars and we get them to buy the electric cars. It doesn't matter if the electric cars actually exist yet. I'll tell you what. Slight segue then, if we're just gonna sit and have a a chin wag, as it were, for a bit. I don't know if you saw the article I put into the Discord about 10 minutes ago, but it is one of the most disgusting things I think I've read in the last while.
The one by Scott A. Small.
Yeah, I think it's the New York Times one.
Yeah. How much we'll forget the pandemic.
Oh, no, what do you mean I've reached my limit of free articles? Shit.
Okay. We can sort this out. Give me a second.
Are you going to quickly make an archive link?
Maybe.
That's 50. Okay, crack on. Godspeed. Yeah, that one good.
It's already saved. It's already saved. We've got
based.
It.
Now, see, we're not going to be in electric cars. As I keep saying to people, I reckon if they go whole hog with a climate agenda, it's going to be full Pol Pot, and you'll be lucky to be cycling between the dirt farms.
Get this. The price of used cars has gone up so much that my car, which I bought now 8 years ago...
Is it worth what you paid for it?
It's worth more now than it was paid when I bought it.
Fantastic. Yeah,
I'm literally driving for free at the moment.
Just this article is disgusting. We will forget much of the pandemic. That's a good thing. And it's like some NPC never having his brain hoovered.
Oh god, yeah, I'm looking at that.
Yeah, just I can't remember. There's two snippets I stole at this earlier on. I'll quickly find them. But just it's very much like this is, it feels like very strong pre-programming for an argument I will make in a second. And I hope this makes sense to folk.
But they are going to do this. This is exactly.
It is also inevitable that over time, many of our memories of these difficult years will fade. As a neuroscientist who studies memory and memory disorders like Alzheimer's, I find this fact perhaps counterintuitively comforting. I've come to understand through new research that there is a danger in remembering too much. and that forgetting is not only normal but in fact necessary for our mental health. That Orwell would be fucking screaming.
Jesus fucking these people. I swear. It's
not how quickly people move on to the next crisis, it's how quickly they forget the last one.
I said this a few months ago, I'm gonna keep on saying it. I give it a year, maybe a little more, but we are going to see articles in The Guardian, we're going to see articles in every single newspaper. A, there'll be, did we overreact to the pandemic?
Yeah.
And in those articles, they will reflect on how they questioned these things at the time, but the government said, no, we needed to do them. And despite people's objections, they went ahead and did them anyway, and they'll throw the governments of the time under the bus. And they will paint themselves as if they were the skeptics, and that everyone was a skeptic back then. It will be, as you said, rewritten.
Mm. You know, exactly. The people making the point in chat, the narrative of the coup will vanish as soon as it's no longer convenient, but the policies and the power will always stay, which is, of course, it's the way it always works. But they then go on in this article to talk about things like the negative effects of trauma, and one of the greatest risks for PTSD in soldiers is when shortly post-trauma they find themselves socially isolated, their minds exposed without social fabric to protect them from the lashing lips of their fear and dread. You know, he's essentially playing on this idea of it can be dangerous to remember too much, which I think, again, is fucking horrible. PTSD, he's talking about, we can predict that when it's safe to do so, relaxing the recommendations for social isolation, encouraging people to get together at work and schools and other social venues will reduce the long-lasting distress. What he's talking about here, that is what's referred to in psychological operations in the military, is decompression. You know, essentially inserting people who have just left combat zones into the real world again. In a sort of manner of letting them know that you're consciously doing it, so that they recognise they are moving from one environment to another. And he continues on here, with luck, in the months and years ahead, the threat of the virus will abate, and we will be able to let go of the fear that for many of us has been at least a near constant companion over the past 2 years. With hope, the terrifying images of the pandemic's ravages, the empty streets and crowded hospitals, the funeral pyres and freezer trucks will cease to loom so large in our collective memory. It's just as a complete admittance that, yes, we know the government has propagandized you and put you in a state of like mass psychological tension. But that's okay. You can just forget. And I've got a feeling that what you're going to have in short order, and I put a thing in Telegram about this, what I will do quickly and possibly interrupt myself, seeing as how I'm probably no longer going to be on Twitter, if people want to find me and me ranting about stuff, there is a link there. Scrump also has access to that Telegram, but doesn't use it, so it'll be my personal channel for ranting about stuff like the stuff I'm talking about here at the moment. But I could imagine us in short order, you know, we had the long COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. You will have nurses and doctors giving these harrowing tales of what it was like to work in the wards during COVID and the bodies and all this kind of stuff. And they will essentially, it'll be like post-pandemic stress disorder.
Oh.
And inversely... Oh, yeah. People who start talking about bits of this that they would rather you forget will be possibly diagnosed with post-pandemic stress disorder. Oh, Bill Gates didn't say that. The World Economic Forum wasn't involved. They didn't fake the numbers. You're just remembering the bits that you shouldn't. You're remembering too much. You know, it's again, it's similar to that kind of stuff in Paul Gottfried, when we talked about the therapeutic state. You know, it's very much pure psycho and analytical scientific sort of language that's hiding an unbelievably insidious sort of plan. And I read this earlier on and genuinely was sitting there gritting my teeth for a minute. I was like, you fucking evil bastards. Oh, yet forgetting some of this fear will allow us to more clearly recall the details we want to remember. For me, those include the astonishing resilience, bravery, and sense of collective spirit that emerged 2 years ago this week as my hometown became an epicenter of the pandemic. Those memories make me hopeful for the future. I don't know, I read that earlier on and I couldn't.
It is, it's evil.
Aye.
And whilst what we're not saying is, it's actually ended up in chat, is that whilst all these things that have been put in place that we're going to forget about, but the powers are still there, what we're also not talking about is the other powers, the other stuff that various governments have put through. Whilst everyone was too busy looking at COVID to you know, nobody mentions the horrendous, you know, various bills that have been put through in the UK and Australia and everywhere else.
The
covert intelligence bill and stuff like that. I felt almost completely like I was going mad because I was sat there screaming at just about everyone going, look at this, this is fucking awful. They can literally murder your wife.
I've been doing the same, all the crypto stuff, and everyone's running around going, yeah, but I'm making so much money. It's like, oh my God, you fucking idiots. They don't understand what they're bringing upon themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I find that one so much worse because as I look more and more into it and I see more stuff from the Blair Institute, World Economic Forum, even outlets like Coinbase and stuff like that themselves, and they're talking all in the exact same language about democratizing finance and securing financial structures away from extremists and stuff like that. I mean, the way I look at it, and I'll go into this at some point more long form, because I think at some point I just want to do a stream about it. But either crypto and blockchain technology works excellently and allows them to construct the social credit score that they've always wanted, whereby you're essentially automatically silenced by an algorithm. In the same way I was on Twitter, no humans banned me. Humans reported me, and then a machine decided that that was good enough.
Yep.
So a machine will decide that what you've said on Twitter or Facebook or whatever was bad enough that your bank should get removed. Or there's a possibility that blockchain and crypto infrastructure is actually just shit. And the way that, you know, different credit card and debit card infrastructures have opened up paths to scamming and fraud that were never thought possible before, that you end up in a situation where you actually can't avoid fraud through problems are in blockchain. Or the other possibility is that both of those things could actually be true at the same time, and you live in a system whereby the government can perfectly silence you via an algorithm and an automatic system. However, you as an individual are completely unaccountable to the financial system itself. And if somebody scams you or defrauds you or your money gets taken off you, that's it. You're cut off. And there is nothing left. And it's almost a perfect example of how all the anarcho-tyranny stuff works.
Segueing back to what's happening with Russia at the present moment. Financial institutions are outraged at what's going off in Russia, so decide to cut off Russia from their financial services.
Mm.
And 2 days later in Bloomberg, financial institutions are now deeply concerned that Russia is going to default on its bonds because it can't pay its debts.
Mm.
Like you've just broken your terms of service with your client and cut them off and given them no access to actually sort of supply them and created various
maybe there's the nightmares. Question to ruminate on for a bit then. If you were Putin right now, what's your move?
Oh, I would be on the phone to China very quickly and going, all right, how's it going?
How
about we just create system 2.0?
Well, China already has its own credit card and debit card payment processors. However, supposedly they aren't willing to fill in the debt for the time being on Russia's behalf. So who knows what's happening?
Russia doesn't need to pay the debt, though. Russia goes, okay, I owe you loads of money. Don't care.
But then that forces Putin into a manoeuvre where he has to then back the ruble by something other than debt. Because that's the thing you can't admit. I mean, the thing, like, people look at the stuff with Gaddafi. And it's like, yes, he was starting to start a currency with gold, and that's very interesting, and that's probably partly the reason why they didn't like him. But in doing that, he also wanted to separate himself from what is, in a certain sense, a very crude debt-based system. And that most currencies that have any sort of velocity of trade with the dollar are generally backed not by any real metric, only purely in the fact that they can borrow dollars. And that your money is good for creating dollar debt. And as soon as the ruble is no longer capable of creating dollar debt because it isn't trusted as even in the figment of the real world where governments actually pay back debt. But as soon as that, you know, as soon as someone says no, you aren't doing it anymore, then it would become a completely different ballgame. And Putin would have to back the ruble by something that wasn't US dollar debt, which they don't like when you do that.
I just sent you a link to an article from the Mail. This is UK docks turning away Russian tankers full of oil and fuel that we have paid for because they're Russian. So products that we've bought, we've paid for, that are being landed, are being turned away, and those tankers full of fuel are going back to Russia full of
Is oil actually $125 a barrel? Christ almighty.
Do you remember when they were giving it away for free a couple of years ago?
That was just about 2 years ago where you had the whole short order problem.
God almighty.
How interesting.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is someone in the chat's talking about Putin. See, I don't think they can pull off a gold-backed currency, because I think he would just get himself whacked. Or at that point, either China or some other major player like JP Morgan Chase or something essentially says, oh, by the way, sorry, we had a couple of, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 tons of gold that we didn't say we had, and they deflate the value with it and crash the Russian economy again.
But like the Chinese.
My God, there we go. Yeah, one petrol station in Chelsea is charging 219 pence a litre for diesel, a wallet-hammering £10 per gallon. How are they getting away with that?
I don't know. I've got a place near where I am, and it is currently... You've got to be a member of the club, so to speak. And it is literally not open to the general public. You've got to have the right card to go in there. It is still £1.44.
Oh. Is this one of those places? Do you know a few taxi drivers?
It's Costco.
Ah, right.
It's Costco, so it's wholesale and so on. So yeah, no, I filled up there the other day, and it is still reasonable. I might go back there with a few jerry cans.
Yeah, go back with a couple of drums, I reckon.
Yeah,
need something to heat the house next winter. No, they're just that they've got this sidebar, Ukraine war, the latest, and then the top of it is some gay psychologizing nonsense. Yeah, US intelligence chiefs say they fear Putin is angry and frustrated and may resort to using small tactical nuclear weapons to force Ukraine into submission.
If they start using nuclear weapons of any sort, then everyone gets very, very iffy, and we all activate plan B. Grab your bug-out bag, head for somewhere that's not a main population.
What I want to know is, who made the decision here with this boat? Who was the person when the tanker arrived and they said, nope, we don't want your oil? Who was the actual individual?
Apparently it was the Dock Workers Union.
Oh, was it? Fuck. The Dock Workers Union, those folk that are getting paid maybe about 30 grand a year and having to drive to work by force, and therefore having to pay for fuel and diesel themselves, eh?
That wasn't what I don't think that's in that article, but that was what I heard the other day. I've been trying to find an article
because all I'm saying is, the person that's making your fuel costs put you out of work has a name and an address.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Unite Union today backed the dockers. General Secretary Sharon Graham said, "I am very proud of United's members taking a principled stand to prevent Russian oil coming to our ports." Who gave these people the fucking power? I mean,
don't even get me started.
At what point did they decide that, yeah, this isn't Britain's interest? The British people's interest is to make them poor.
You know what? You know, I used to be a member of Unite, right? They are such fucking iffy bastards. No, I decided to chip in a bit just to stick my nose around, you know, behind the door. see what it was like. And they are fucking... It's exactly what you think it is.
Mm.
It is as dodgy as you think it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a threat about breaking some legs before. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, where's the picture of the dock workers out on a dock protest, nah? Where's that? Did they just go on strike?
Yeah, they just basically went, no, we're not dealing with that thing. Not with that flag. No, fuck off, mate. Fuck off, Russian. It's like, well, you've paid for this.
It's not just the one ship. They've turned away all these ships.
There we go. Magoots said, right, international insurance companies have cut off the Russian freight companies, so few ports will even take them in because they're not insured.
Oh, that's not good. That's like having your lighthouse insurance cancelled.
Oof. Oof. So yeah, they're going to be heading back to Russian ports now. I mean, to be honest, they could do a world tour. They've got enough fuel on board to fucking be stay at sea for fucking ever.
There's the real fucking rub.
You know, if I was a fucking
wholesale petrol, 51.7 pence per litre. So you're telling me 2/3 of it's just shite? Yeah, the margin, 1.7 pence. Meanwhile, the government's robbing you for more than the actual fuel is worth.
Fucking tax. Yeah, 2/3. 2/3 of it is tax. Don't even get me fucking started.
See, you can't even buy dodgy Russian tobacco either. You need to buy all the shite for Turkey.
I'll tell you what. Those fucking tankers, meet me down at fucking Plymouth Docks or something in the middle of the night. I'll bring Jerry and we'll get this fucking sorted. I'll get it into England, no problem.
I'll tell you what, right? I'm going to talk to some people at haulage companies and I'm going to price up what it's going to be like to do a run from Moscow to Dover through the Channel Tunnel with a tanker, and we'll just pretend we'll totally not get Russian fuel in the back of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not like they radioactively tag it and go, oh, we know this fuel comes from Russia. Nah, you won't know. Fuck them. Yeah, this puts it there. Putin must be fucking pissing himself. Yeah, he's
transport,
absolutely right.
Transport, there you go. There's the name. He'll have an address to. Transport Secretary Grant Shapps acknowledged that the ban on Russian oil imports could have a knock-on impact on consumers. Mm-hmm. He'll fucking know about knock-on impacts at some point. We need to stem the flow of Vladimir Putin's gas and oil blood money from funding his war machine. My God, irony.
It's already fucking paid for. It's left his shores. It's ours. It's not his fucking oil. It's our oil. He's shipping it over. It's like ordering a takeaway and then getting to the door and you go, nah, I don't like it. I don't like, no, fuck you and your packy fucking curries. Nah, we don't want it. And the guy's there going, well, this is my tea then. Thanks for the money anyway.
Aye.
I'll take this home to the wife. It's fucking nonsense. It really is.
It came as Russia's Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak claimed that Western nation could send global oil prices soaring to $300 a barrel. I hope you're looking forward to paying about 140 quid of your motor. Industry figures show oil at this price could cause pump prices to surge at a staggering £2.70 a litre for petrol and £3 for diesel. How do we even run logistics in Britain if that's going to be the case?
It's going to break.
Do you remember when we were all going to die because of Brexit? We were all going to starve because of Brexit. And then the European Union went on a fucking war path with Russia and now we're going to starve to death.
Yeah.
If only we hadn't left Europe, this would have never happened. God damn it.
Fucking madness.
Another
This
donation
is.
on the
Well,
Streamlabs
yeah.
from James Merry. Don't
Thank you,
ask
James.
questions, just consume crisis and then get excited for the next crisis.
Yeah, too
Agitation
fucking right.
integration.
Yeah.
Agitation integration. Write it on the chalkboard 100 times.
Oh, at least the Ukrainian refugees are indeed all women, and you know.
I don't know. I remember seeing the there's like ones on Telegram floating about and like the border areas in Poland where they're getting off the train and they don't. I've never seen Ukrainians with such a good tan before in my life. I'll leave it at
Oh,
that.
you're kidding me.
Nah, the
Oh,
streams of
no.
brown folk coming out of bloody someone Morgoth. I'm trying to remember what's his thing. Oh, he's got some sort of like rule. But no matter where the crisis is in the world, the refugees will always be sub-Saharan Africans.
Fucking Christ. It's all gonna go. Did you notice today that Pakistan and India, speaking of them,
Oh, are they at it again?
they're at it again as well. Yeah,
Ugh, who fucking cares?
that's it. Next thing, China will take on Taiwan, and at which point, that's it.
Can we
I'm
just put a
done.
big lead blanket over Britain and just let them all nuke themselves to bits? I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I wish we just didn't have like the TV and the internet and stuff like that, and that we could just sit and be like, oh, something happened in Ukraine the other day, but I didn't really hear much about it, so I'm not really giving a toss, and go
Well,
about
this
our
is it.
day.
Yeah, absolutely. Turn it all off. Fucking play Monopoly and Ludo with your family and your loved ones, and you know, break out the DVDs or the tapes and watch a bit of a good old movie. Have a bit of
How's it about
sunscreen.
y'all read a book or
Yeah.
go watch a play or go learn to fish, have a picnic or something?
Find a pub with a piano and a pool table in it.
Exactly.
Find some cunt that can play the piano, and then go and play pool while some cunt fucking knocks out a ditty.
Yeah,
It's
no, that's
great.
me. I'm in the pub playing pool all day. I'll do
Yeah.
that till I fucking croak.
Oh,
I would much rather do that than sit there going, oh, no, what if we have nuclear war and what if I can't eat and ugh.
what if? Don't care. Or the pint. Oh, the pints have got up fucking 5 pounds because of Ukraine. Who the fuck's Ukraine? And who asked him? Fuck Mr. Crane.
You're pouring
Yeah.
that pint, it'll be £2.50 and you'll fucking like it.
Like it, exactly. Nah, global politics is well, even fucking national politics. Fuck it. Come just fucking balkanize everything down to
I
super
don't need
states.
to live in a world bigger than about 20 or 30 square miles, really.
Based fucking Machiavellian fucking city state world. That's what we want.
Nah. I want to live in such a culture that when people draw maps of the world, they just draw Britain.
Oh yeah, I'm all for that.
If not, just draw their town and like, oh well, I don't know what's outside, but I don't really give a shit, so.
Beyond there be monsters.
Exactly. Yeah. Ear be pirates.
Someone from a different city comes along and turns up and say immediately alarms ring.
Ah,
Foreigners!
you're not from here.
You're not from around here. Buy what
Oh,
you want, sell what you want, and then fuck off.
what a simpler world.
Pretty much. Oh dear.
Don't know. I don't have anything else to babble about.
No, I'm about done. We've done an hour and a half. That's about right. And if you've got any shilling to do, I'm.
I will be having a look through Hope Not Hate's yearly kind of release thing on a Monday, because it's kind of funny and also just why not?
Cool.
I know. Yeah. Let's us know what they think is important to look at.
Fair play. Just,
I'm having a scroll through. I've got
a few bits to do on Monday. It's a kind of an anniversary for me, and I'm also in the evening. I'm now, you know, they've been doing this Dungeons and Dragons nerdy shit on Mondays. Mm. I'm now DMing. I'm now in charge of that, and so I'm taking the party through medieval Europe with the Inquisition chasing them, because they're not from around there, and they're gonna get put on a rack and generally tortured. So that's what I'm doing on Mondays. I fucked it up royally this week, and totally fucked up the sound. So hopefully I'll have that sorted out next week. But it's been a good giggle this evening. Shall we wrap it up there?
Yeah, I suppose. I've not really got anything else to really say or go over. I mean, I would just make sure that people, if they haven't already, do check out Nomos Events.
Oh, indeed.
That will be happening in a little over 2 weeks now. Eek.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah, because we'll need to decide on final numbers quite soon. So if you want a ticket, please buy a ticket today or tomorrow, because it is probably the last day that we can, or some of the last days that we can put a final number to the venue and get numbers for food and whatever else. But there'll be a big 3-course dinner. There'll be 5 talks that evening between myself, Scrump, Hannah Mahat, SD Wicket, and Alexander Adams. Dank hasn't confirmed whether or not he'll be there yet. He might be there to MC. We'll see. I don't know. Are you coming?
I'm not actually sure, because I have a minor financial crisis myself going off at the present moment.
Ah.
If I can sort that out, yes. If I can't, I'm literally chewing old shoes for dinner. So I might not be able to afford the fuel to get there. I know. People have literally screwed up all around me. It's not my fault, but I am owed many, many four-figure sums at the present moment by various people and places. So yes, it's a bit dire. So hopefully that'll get sorted out. But if not, I am in trouble.
People are complaining about Birmingham. I will say, it is in the city centre. It is not in the bit of Birmingham where ram raids and stabbings happen for the most part. And that many people told us to do an event in Birmingham because it was easier for folk to get to. I mean, we can go to all these, you know, nice fancy places, but then venues cost a lot more, tickets cost a lot more, travel costs a lot more, you know, hotels for all the people that want to come costs a lot more. And I don't know, we're trying to at least make some semblance of organisation of the people around our circles at least possible in some sense. And if sometimes maybe the compromise of it being Birmingham as opposed to it being in, like, I don't know, doing some sort of event in the Cotswolds or some really nice town there. I'm afraid until we get some serious backing, unless Peter Thiel wants to give us shitloads of money, it's not happening.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Peter Thiel's got, I'm sure he's got a bob or two to spare.
What's he owe you money to? I'm still waiting for my fucking jet beat.
Look, according to some people, Putin's paying me as well, but I do not accept rubles at the present moment. It's going to have to be hardcore gold.
See,
or oil.
That's why they had to get me off Twitter, because Putin would have had to be paying me. I was cranking it out the other day.
I know. You literally, all you have to do is tell people to actually just take a break and just look back and maybe think that you might be propagandized at the moment. And they're like, oh, you're just a Russian shill, blah blah blah, and Russian bots. So, you know, then you break out a bit of pudgy Russian to them, and that's it. They lose their shit. Cool.
Right, well,
Cool.
if that is all, then thank you to everyone that showed up, and
Indeed.
just remember to clear them out. Clear them out.
Clear them out. Indeed. Indeed. Well, it's been a pleasure as always. And we'll speak next week, at least.
Yep, see you then. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. Bye.